welcome to the interview 2018 mother. Thank you for letting me interview you. So let's commence. Okay, so I'm gonna be asking you about China, like how you first started out there and stuff.
Okay.
And kind of like how you moved over. So let's kind of start that. So how was life like in China?
Well, it has been a long time since I lived in China. I came when I was 15. So it has been almost 30 years. It's been like 28 years since I have moved from China.
All right.
So it was a very different time, and things were very different back then in China. So back then, when I first left China, when I was living in China, which was from 1975 to 1991, China was not very advanced yet. It was still very closed in, not very open to other countries or the U.S. So it was still very backwards with technology, with things that were available conveniently or technologically.
All right.
Which is very different now.
Okay. And where did you live in China? Like, did you live in a small town or a big city?
I was born in a small town, in a very, very small, actually not even a town, it was a village, in a small village. And I lived there until I was 7. And then we moved to a medium-sized city from a little village.
And what things did you do in the village? What was the daily stuff, I guess you could say?
Well, I was very young when I lived in the village, but in the small village, it was a very small village, about 100 families. And there really wasn't any strangers, and those were people that lived there for many years. So everyone knew everyone. There were no strangers that would go to the village. So as a child, I did not have to stay home and to have someone watch over me. I think as soon as I could play outside, I was outside by myself, basically, with other kids. With the other kids from the village. So from, I think, the age of 3 to 4, I started just outside, because all the adults are busy working in the fields. They were all farmers. So all the adults were busy working in the fields, in the farming.
Yeah. What'd they farm?
For food.
Oh, okay.
Because there was the transportation, there nearly no transportation.
It was just enclosed.
It was very enclosed. So we
just dealt
basically
with food yourselves.
Yeah, just made our own food by farming, raising chickens and animals, and farming for our own vegetables and our own food. Adults were very very busy doing that. So the kids kind of just ran around. So I mostly just ran around the village.
All day?
And at night. Because there's no really strangers, there really wasn't any chance that I would be lost or anything. And all the kids did that. So as groups. So we would just be out all day, climbing trees, rolling on
stuff,
the
just
yeah rolling the mud
stuff.
Or running in the fields.
All right. When did you leave that place?
When I was 7, we moved to a medium-sized city.
And what happened, what did you do over there? Like, how was life like in the medium-sized city?
Well, this is... I lived in northern China. Mm. So the medium-sized city is still not a very big city. It's not a big major city like...
Like what did it
the capitals like or Beijing, Shanghai, or any of those major cities.
Did it have any large buildings?
Yeah, like, it had large buildings. I mean, it was a mid-sized city. Mm. So mid-sized city is still a good size. Mm. But back then, this was also almost 30 years ago. So back then, even in the big cities, there weren't so many big buildings
yet. There wasn't a lot of stuff.
So yeah. So, but it's a lot of more, lot more streets and a lot more residents and schools and universities and those kind of things. So it is still a very a good sized city. So I went to elementary school in the city.
And how were like how were schools like over there?
Very strict. Like, all about studying. You have to basically study all day besides the class times from which is normally from like 7 in the morning to 5 in the evening. And then after school, you have to do exercises and homework. Usually the homework is so much that you have to do it until like 10 or 11 o'clock. And then you go to bed and then get up and do the same thing again. And on the weekends, you have to do also tutoring, got to get tutored. And the testing system is very strict. So it's always testing things that are knowledge that is beyond what we learn. So we have to practice a lot to be able to pass the tests, which is a big deal.
Doesn't that make the test impossible if it's something that you haven't learned yet?
Yeah, it well, like... it teaches you, well, it's not...
To think ahead.
Yeah, it teaches you to think ahead, and it'll be something similar to what we learn. So we have to, like, we have to make sure we practice a lot, a whole lot. So and there's a lot of practicing.
And it didn't have, and you didn't like have any time to do any fun activities.
There was no other time, no.
While going through school?
Yeah. Besides only summer vacation. But other than that, we pretty much go to school 7 days a week.
And like, how are like the cultures like over there, like the traditions and stuff?
Traditions, very traditional. In a way where...
like what would you say like you did people did I guess as the culture
This was also like almost 30 years ago so culturally you know it's a lot of traditional things that we do like holidays and also as tradition in the Asian culture in general basically is that you have to respect this is drilled in as a child you must respect people that are older than you you have to pay respects and not argue and listen to people who are older than you they're considered your elders so that you have to respect just as like students with their teachers you have to respect your teachers the teachers have the right to actually give you a corporal punishment like you know hitting your hand or you know punish you in any way the teacher sees fit basically and in classes you were required to make eye contact with the teacher anytime the teacher looked at the student you have to make eye contact so you have to be very respectful in a class time in a class setting also.
Okay, what did your parents do as jobs there?
My parents were working at the university. It's a bit complicated. They went to the village was because during the time of Cultural Revolution, they were they freshly graduated college, but they were sent to be what they call re-education for students to learn the basic ways of living, mm-hmm. As farmers and as workers, mm-hmm. and as factory workers. And they were, my parents were sent to be farmers, mm-hmm. To learn what they consider, what communists consider, the three most important base of society, mm-hmm. which were the ones that provide food, which are farmers, and mm-hmm. the ones that provide our daily items, which were factory workers, and the military.
So this was a time of communism?
This still communism now.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I guess
it's so. Just a little bit different now.
Yeah.
But back then, it was because of that reason. Mm-hmm. That's why I was born in a village, even though my parents were not from the village life, but they were sent there to learn to be farmers.
All right.
So then after that was done, they were brought back to the cities, mm-hmm. And which my parents became, my father came to the U.S. to study, to learn knowledge, and then my mother became went back to school also, and then she became an educator for the education department for the university, for Jilin University.
All right. Were you there when technology was developed in China? Like, how was that? How was technology in China?
Back then, there was very low technology, very low tech. Very few people had even like TVs, even color TVs were pretty rare. Mm-hmm. We had back then was Walkman, mm-hmm. what's called the Walkman, where it plays tapes. Mm-hmm. Not like nowadays, it's the iPhones, iPods, mm-hmm. and you can just download music. But
the
back
music
then, it
tapes.
Was a physical tape, and you have to have a Walkman. Mm-hmm. And if you had one of those, you're pretty cool.
Oh, okay.
And I had one of those because my father was in the United States.
Because you're cool.
And he sent, yeah, and I was cool. And he sent me one, and that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to get also television, and had a tape player. Also for videotapes, which mm-hmm. was super cool also. Not most people did not have those kind of things. And I even had a record player,
mm-hmm.
of the actual vinyl record player, which also
was
your
really
grandfather,
rare.
My dad has sent from the US.
Oh.
And with all the classical mm-hmm. music.
So you were lucky then.
Yes, I was very lucky. Because at that time, it was very rare in China to mm-hmm. be able to have these items.
And this is when you were in the city, right?
Yeah. And
in the
actually,
village, there was nothing.
In the village, it was nothing. In the village, there was one projector for TV, for like entertainment, for the whole entire village.
One projector.
And yeah. So very rarely, but once in a great while, we were able to run film mm-hmm. from the projector. Where the whole village would gather and mm-hmm. watch in the whatever's projected. And,
all right.
But that was it in the village. There was nothing else in the village. But in the city, once we moved to the city, and also because my father mm-hmm. Was in the U.S. studying and was able to send us some of these items, mm-hmm. We were actually a lot more advanced. I didn't realize it, but...
Yeah.
As a child, really, mm-hmm. but I mean, it was a pretty cool thing because most other kids did not have access to what I had. Like mm-hmm. Most other kids did not even know at my age, did not even know what classical music was about. Nobody even knew Beethoven or Bach or any of those classical greats, which mm-hmm. was pretty.
Wait, you got
ridiculous.
To listen to them?
Yeah.
Oh. What foods did you eat? There,
Chinese
like
food.
Like what types of food?
Northern like, Chinese food.
How was the food? What is the northern Chinese foods?
It was not a lot of, it was more a lot of street foods when I, you know, because we didn't have a whole lot of money either. Mm-hmm. And even if we did, it wasn't, back then it wasn't that many restaurants open, available. It was mostly like street vendors, which is generally like the Chinese food culture is very much street vendors.
Like, what does it consist of? Like, is it like
it consists of so many different types of foods. I mean, it was not lacking at all in the city for the availability of the different street vendors. It was multitude. I mean, just so many different types of street foods. Mm-hmm. Like, you can, on the street, you can have shish kebabs. They have those lamb shish kebabs, which was were one of my favorites, and it's super good. And they sell just about anything out of a cart or a vendor, like noodle soup, or like they had we had many different types of way of cooking tofu, and they would have like specialty where somebody who mostly everything was specialized. So all the vendors would make just the one item, and it's passed down through generations of the way of making that one item. And so there were many different vendors, and but they would offer a specialized item. Like there would be a vendor specifically for just all tofu items, and then vendors specifically just for just noodle soup, let's say beef noodle soup or just chicken noodle soup. They're different also, or dumplings. Oh, I'm from the north, so we eat a lot of dumplings. We eat a lot of
like dough,
yeah, doughy foods. Yeah, so noodles very common, dumplings very common, even things like sticky rice cake. It's all sold on the street. It's all out of vendors.
And
anytime too. Anytime there were vendors, and they were people like love to socialize. Yeah. Especially Chinese people love to socialize. And there's a lot of people that work late also, or study late. Like even for me as a elementary school student, and then moving on to a middle school student, and especially when you get to high school, you basically have to study into the late of night, pretty much everybody. And so it's very available where street vendors are pretty, most street vendors open past midnight. So anytime, you know, in the middle of the night, a lot of people, it's actually a habit of midnight just snacks.
Nightly snacking.
Yeah, late night snacking is very much a habit of Chinese socialization. So many very common in many Chinese cities, where in the middle of the night it's just people everywhere. You just see people all over the place, and then they're all eating, snacking, and this goes on like all day and all night.
Interesting. All right, how is the economy?
Economy, of course, it is very different now. It is dramatically different now from the time I left to the time now. The change is dramatic. But when I was there, the economy wasn't so great. It was when China first started opening up to the foreign countries for foreign trade. It was before before China became the production giant, manufacturing giant that China is now. Or you know, the fortune that's amassed during that time. When I was there, it was a lot simpler. It was a lot less technologically. It was a lot less about. Was a lot more just socializing between people, because there's really wasn't that much, entertainment. Back then, because nobody, you know, there wasn't any cell phone back then anyways, anywhere, so and TV is not that common yet back then also in China, so it's mostly social, a lot of social activities, and it still kind of goes on in China, not as much as it used to, but now it still kind of goes on, like every weekend. We're supposed to have just the one day off, Sunday, But really, that's kind of like a studying day too. But it's a shorter studying day, I guess, mm-hmm. comparing to the other 6 days.
So you have like
days.
More time to do stuff.
So we have a little bit more time. So mm-hmm. on the weekend, there's usually people out, especially in the evening time, people love to be out. Mm-hmm. There's dancing, and it's usually on the streets or in the parks.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of socializing, dancing, mm-hmm. Learning things, people mm-hmm. playing chess or all different kinds of games, mm-hmm. actually, in the different parks or along the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Economy wasn't all that great then. Wasn't
and were
as
you
much
like,
available.
What was your class in at the time? In, like, economically, I guess. What would you say you were in, like, middle class?
We're middle class. We're a little, actually, upper middle class.
Mm-hmm.
We were a little above middle class.
Is it because, like, the stuff that you got?
Yeah.
It's kind of a little bit higher than other people?
Yeah, because of, you know, there wasn't any outlet or connection back then that common with the U.S. or any other countries.
Mm-hmm.
So things that came from the U.S. were viewed as...
Like
pretty rare, yeah.
Rare, expensive stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
Because even if people had money, they didn't have any way to buy it. Mm-hmm. They didn't have any way to buy it, to bring it over.
And how was like the government and like laws in China? How was that, you think?
Very strict. China has actually a lot more relaxed now than it was when I was there about almost 30 years ago. There were almost no drugs whatsoever. Mm-hmm. We didn't even know what the hell they were talking about when people were talking about, you know, we heard about it
mm-hmm.
As kids. You know, we heard about that there's drugs in the U.S.
and whatever that is.
In other countries or in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
But we had no idea
what
it was, what it looked like or anything. We just mm-hmm. heard that there was such a thing as
and they were
drugs,
bad?
That they were bad. Oh. That they were like super bad.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, China did not like the U.S. all that much back then. And there was not that much trade.
Mm.
So the information was very closed up.
Mm-hmm.
I knew a little bit more, of course, from my father being in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
Than other kids per se, and also I got the items, you know, music and things from the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And movies actually too, since my father had sent tapes with the tape players, mm-hmm. which was very like advanced. I mean, there were movies. The first movie I saw was Dirty Dancing.
Oh.
And that's actually a prohibited movie back
really?
Then in China. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Because of the content.
Hmm.
But, what were we talking about?
We were talking about the government.
The government. Oh, yeah. The government was very uptight about those kind of things. They were very, they would monitor basically everything.
Mm-hmm.
The movies that were released, like everything that was on TV back then, even there weren't that many people that had TVs, but there weren't that many stations
mm-hmm.
available. About like 3 or 4 TV stations available, mm-hmm. but those were all governmentally monitored TV
mm-hmm.
stations. They were only allowed to play things that were permitted. Yeah. By the government
mm-hmm.
and the movies also they would play movies like I remember playing Superman but there were many scenes that have to be cut out
mm-hmm.
that have to be edited that were considered like any kissing scenes any kind mm-hmm. of like
obscene
yeah they would consider like inappropriate
profane
yeah they would cut out. There were no such thing as prostitution
mm-hmm.
also because just not allowed
mm-hmm.
like these kind of things just was not allowed
mm-hmm.
People could die from it. I mean it was not a simple thing. It was not something where merely a jail sentence would resolve
mm-hmm.
A lot of these things that they strictly prohibit if you violate it and you're caught violating it. It's very possible that you would die. That they would give you a death sentence for violating any of those. So it was much simpler time. There really wasn't that much things available
just
to the youth.
Stressed.
Yeah, there was no weapons whatsoever. It's very innocent, I think, a simple time back then. Yeah.
All right. And how did you immigrate to America?
My father, through my father being in the States, and he was, because of what he was studying, he's a mathematician, and he was very good at it. He had wrote papers that were internationally renowned papers. So he would he was considered a talent that the U.S. wanted.
Like a high skill.
Yeah. A very skilled person that the U.S. wanted to obtain. So back then it was not very easy to immigrate from China because the relations were so uptight between the communism and the U.S. government. So...
But since he had like that special,
Because of
mark on
him. Yeah, because of what his knowledge, he was able to obtain. They offered him, the U.S. offered him citizenship of immigration.
And so, where did you go when you came to America? Just like, how did that start?
Oh, and with that, also with immigration, because we had to lie, because my dad came here first, and because it was really not an acceptable thing for us to immigrate to the U.S., so we had to lie to the Chinese government and say that we were merely visiting in order to get the permission or visa to be able to come to the U.S. So we had to lie and say because we were visiting and he was had an illness. And he did have an illness. He was diabetic. And so then we were allowed to come over to visit. And then we were offered the immigration by the U.S. government.
All right, and then that kind of concludes you going to America?
Yeah.
Well, then we can end the interview here. Again, thanks for letting me interview you.
Okay.
And this, I'm probably going to make this into like a thing, a podcast.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah.